really good thing that we put people as our main focus when we're serving in the church. However, it can become all of a sudden very frustrating because we really struggle with other executive functions that don't come naturally to us with ADHD. Hey yo, busy brain. Welcome to my podcast. I am Camden Hainsworth, ADHD advocate, coach, and member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Understanding my own ADHD diagnosis completely changed the course of my life for the better. Now it is my mission and joy to provide you with the tools to do the same. Join me weekly. Let's create real results that work with your neurodivergence and reflect a confident life of self-acceptance, growth, and satisfaction. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. Let's get growing. Hello, you've made it. I'm so happy that you are here. My brain is busy and my heart is full. Today's episode is titled Callings, Administration, and ADHD. Thank you so much to those of you who have left a positive podcast review, either on Apple Podcast or wherever you may listen. It makes a world of a difference. It makes me feel like $1 million, but more importantly, it encourages others to give this podcast a try. Imagine, if you will, a world full of people with ADHD who are confident, who had full self-acceptance, who knew what their bodies needed, who understood their mind and their body with compassion and with perspective that was honest. Imagine that. Imagine what the church would look like if we operated off of those feelings and those thoughts versus, oh, you know, I don't operate the same way as people, or I don't hold my calling, or I don't worship the same way that other people do. And then we get, you know, down on ourselves. Understand that by your positive experience in a review, by sharing that, you are giving other people permission to also have their own lived experience and see it as valid and worthy. Thank you so much for taking the time to do that. And let's get into the show. This is the third bonus part to our three-part series about callings in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. After I finished part one and part two, talking about callings and people pleasing and why sometimes it's difficult to know and to trust ourselves when it comes to our service in the church, I felt it wasn't quite complete. And honestly, I think we'll be talking about this particular subject and many things that are similar to it for many weeks to come. However, I did feel like adding on this third part would at least feel more complete than not recording this podcast. Administrative tasks, while fulfilling callings or jobs in the church, can be very burdensome to people with ADHD. And it's not because they're just boring. It's not because they're hard. It's not because of one particular reason. In order to understand why administrative tasks are difficult, it's helpful to understand what executive functioning is. I like to look at this word as functioning, meaning working well, and executive, meaning execute. I like the root there, executing well, doing something all the way through, doing something well. And executive functions are not functional. They're very dysfunctional in many people with ADHD. And a lot of the time when we think about callings in the church, we don't consider really what it takes on the back end to run an organization well. We think more about the lessons we're teaching or the children that we're serving or the ward as a whole. We think about the people. And I don't think that that's a bad thing. I think that it's a really good thing that we put people as our main focus when we're serving in the church. However, it can become all of a sudden very frustrating when we feel like our focus on the people, on the thing that's most important, is still getting tripped up because we really struggle with other executive functions that don't come naturally to us with ADHD. Understood.org says some people describe executive function as the management system of the brain. That's because the skills involved let us set goals, plan, and get things done. When people struggle with executive function, it impacts them at home, at school, life, at church, in every aspect. They go on. There are three main areas of executive function. So we have number one, working memory. This is how easily we're able to take things from our our long-term memory and actually apply those things that we know. Number two is cognitive flexibility, or we know it maybe as flexible thinking. And number three is inhibitory control, which includes self-control. So this is that management of our time, management of ourself. Executive function is responsible for many skills like paying attention, organizing, planning, prioritizing, starting tasks, staying focused all the way to completion, understanding different points of view, regulating emotions, and self-monitoring. So keeping track of what you're doing as you're doing it. When I started to think about the administrative tasks within church callings, there were a few that came to mind. In fact, there is a list of seven that came to mind that I really know are impacted greatly by someone that struggles with executive function and with ADHD. Number one could be planning and organizing meetings. I don't know of a single calling that doesn't have some kind of meeting. Many callings involve organizing and conducting regular meetings, Sunday services, youth activities, leadership meetings. This could also involve scheduling facilities and ensuring that necessary materials or resources are available for the meeting. This comes up a lot, doesn't it? Oh, shoot, I forgot to schedule the gym. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe that I forgot that meeting that I put on my calendar. Or I'm so sorry that slipped my mind to create a syllabus, or what's it called? An agenda, not syllabus, the agenda for the meeting. I was the young women's secretary for a while, and that was the most stressful calling I have ever had because it was legitimately only administrative tasks. I was really grateful that they really involved me in the planning and the counseling. Like, they almost used me as a third counselor, but man, whenever it came down to administrative tasks, I didn't know then, but I know now why it was so hard. Okay, the second one I came up with was record keeping. This might include attendance, tracking at meetings or activities, financial records, tithing settlement, turning your receipts in, updating membership records. Oh my gosh, it just like makes me want to break out into hives, which is so funny because I know there's a lot of people that would just die. They'd love to do these kind of admin things. Number three, preparing agendas and lessons. Maybe you're doing that the night before, Sunday school or teaching the youth or any number of things usually has lessons or trainings that need to be given. Preparing a physical agenda, like I said, for leadership meetings is also typical, and that might be happening last minute, or you're like, oh, I'll just put it off till tomorrow. And then of course you don't have any printer ink, and now there's no more time to actually get the thing printed off in time, right? So there's, it just almost makes me giggle. It makes me just like sigh this breath of relief. Like, okay, this is why this is hard. Reporting. Many roles also involve regular reporting, like reporting on home teaching or visiting teaching. Now we call it ministering. The numbers, the activity levels. On my mission, I think this was the only time that it became okay because it became a part of a system. So we had our white calendar that we would use, and it was just a part of our system every day that we would look at our numbers, look at our people, look in the evenings at our numbers and people. I think it was Thursday was our preparation day that we would take a look at our books. Like, we were constantly in that. And so it made sense for me to update it. Also, I think for me, it helped that it was pen and paper. We used to carry around these big old binders. They probably just have them in their iPads now, but it helped that it was pen and paper. It was like the processing, the thinking through tasks, and then putting it on paper that was really helpful for me. When things get digital, sometimes I get lost in the tabs and I get distracted. Now, not to say that there's not things that I use that are digital. I use my phone my phone is my second brain, essentially. So I just think finding the right way to report could be really beneficial. Okay, number five is communication. Another important task is ensuring regular, clear communication throughout the church group. This might be weekly announcements, newsletters, updates from leaders to members within the presidency, how the people are doing that you're reporting on, that you're taking into your minds and thoughts. It's one thing to set a goal. It's another thing to follow through and to remember. Something just happened last night. I also do social media for our PTA at our school, and someone asked me to post about the yearbook. And I told them, I'm going to put this into my calendar so that I can talk about it for the weeks remaining in this month. They wanted me to like do a real push for it on social media. So I told them that I would put it into my phone. And I said, and if you don't see me doing this enough, please feel free to text me and to remind me. I won't be offended. And for me, I've come a long way with that. Like, I am happy to admit that I forget things. I'm happy to admit that things on my calendar can sometimes get missed, though I'm doing much better with that. And I'm even more happy if there are more people that are around helping me. So long as they're not talking down to me, or they understand that they are a part of my intentional decision-making process as to how I get things done. They're not there to be my babysitter. They're not there to kind of make fun of me because I can't do it myself. Like, if they truly want to work as a team with me, then they need to understand that this is something that I set up, that I am taking charge of my life. I can trust myself because not only is it in my calendar, but I also outsource to other people. So that comes with a lot of self-acceptance, and that might take time, but at least in my example, know that there's one more ADHDer out there that uses other people as their alarm, as their reminder. Okay, number six, coordinating and supervising activities. Whether it's organizing ward activities, youth events, or service projects, coordinating and supervising these activities is a key part of many, many roles. This one's kind of funny to me because sometimes I can get sucked in, right? So because I don't trust myself to remember that I'm the leader and that I'm not the youth playing softball, for example, and getting sucked in into that whole thing and forgetting that I'm a mom and that I have kids at the building, sometimes it's hard for me to let loose and to split my responsibilities because I don't trust myself to remember all the things all at once. I've done better recently, but if you're feeling that way, I just want to validate that that is a whole experience. Also, like supervising, oh my goodness, I forgot that we needed to bring another leader so that we would have enough cars. So on my mission, for example, we'd think, oh my goodness, we forgot to get another person with us so that we could teach this individual in their home, or, you know, things just kind of come up in terms of the coordinating until we get there. We're like, shoot, I forgot the napkins. I got all the things. I got all the meat, all the plates, all the utensils, all the cups and everything, but I forgot the napkins. And part of that is just like being flexible and kind of rolling with it. But there's other times when thinking of those small details until you're actually there, some people just have a gift for that. And I think the more that we learn to look for the details and we learn to look around the corners for things that might be missing, the better we can become at this skill. I know that I'm a lot better at it now that I've practiced because I know my brain's not going to give it to me, you know, cleanly. I have to come up and say, all right, Camden, what are you missing? And I have to take the time, and it feels very inefficient and very uncomfortable, but in the end, I know it's going to be better. And I walk myself through the whole activity. And I think about all the things that I could potentially forget. And then I ask my counselors, and then I ask my husband, and then I ask other people to help support me in that to make sure that there weren't any holes. And hopefully all together we can come up with that. But it doesn't come naturally. That's what I'm trying to say. Unless you've practiced this over and over and over again, if you struggle with executive dysfunction, if you struggle with ADHD and these kind of tasks, you can expect to have holes. You can expect to have mishaps. Like, I have purchased a flight that was supposed to be bringing me back home from San Diego to Salt Lake. And instead, I was in San Diego hoping to come home and realized that I had purchased a ticket that was from Salt Lake to San Diego. So, like, these types of things come up often enough that it's okay to have compassion, but it's also okay, as we're learning to trust ourselves, to help ask for help from other people to double and triple check our work. Not to, like, bring more anxiety, but more to just solidify what our brain is not bringing to the table. our frontal lobe. Okay, cool. Last one, counseling and mentoring. Leaders in various levels of the church are often involved in giving spiritual guidance to individuals and families. So with ADHD, that might mean that you are so empathetic that sometimes it's difficult for you to hold all of that empathy, all of those big feelings, and keep yourself separate from them. That would be a really difficult thing if you're mentoring. Another thing is listening, right? Sometimes we get distracted, or sometimes our neurons or our synapses are just not firing well. And so we might have to ask people to repeat themselves so that we can understand how to mentor and how to counsel. We cannot anticipate how much brain juice, I like to put it, how much neurotransmitters are going to be working day to day. And so one day we might be very high and really high functioning and being able to, you know, put everything together. And the next day we may be feeling really low and dragging on that mental capacity. So as we're mentoring people and counseling, anticipating a variety of different levels of that is good. My therapist is a really good example to me today. Because I was sharing with him a part of my story, and he said, you know what? I am not on my regular ADHD medication, and I'm not quite following why you shared that piece of information with me. Could you help me understand a little bit more how it fits into the puzzle? And so not only does he have an ADHD client, but he's also struggling. And it was so refreshing to hear him say that, because I was like, oh yeah, absolutely no problem. I'm happy to clarify, or, you know, speak a little bit more clearly. And it really normalized that that's okay. And so if a paid therapist that's gone to multiple years of school can do that, then certainly a counselor and a mentor at church, we can give ourselves a little bit of grace too. Okay. So those were just some ideas as to why administrative tasks may be really difficult for you. In terms through the lens of executive function and ADHD, managing our brain, using our brain to manage tasks, to break big things down into small things, and then to do all of those small things 100% to the end within the context of callings, is not always easy. We get so many amazing ideas when we're in these meetings and counseling with each other, I find. And then the execution is like, whoa. Who's doing what? What is the timeline? And then a lot of the time we ended up procrastinating, either number one, because we totally forget and we're disorganized, or number two, we just don't have the motivation to do it until the last minute. And you aren't alone in this, but also we can learn to improve. And I think, just like I said in the past two parts, having extreme self-acceptance, like utter incredible self-acceptance of yourself, your brain, your body, your lived circumstances, your perspectives will 1,000%, in my opinion, help you know what you need. I was talking to my mom on the phone about these podcasts that I've been putting out. She was interested in my perspective. She doesn't have ADHD, but my dad's pretty sure that he has. And he didn't realize that until I started advocating here. And she said, well, what's your perspective on callings and ADHD? And I told her what I just told you. And she said, well, it sounds like to me that people have to take time to learn themselves then first. And that's a lot of work. And I agreed with her. It is a lot of work. If we are to develop personally, we have to know what we're developing. We have to know where we are at so that we can know where we're going. And the clearer we can get on where our strengths and our challenges are, the easier we can set ourselves up for some really good success. So I'd like to highlight, as we're closing out here, the amazing things that ADHDers do bring to the table within callings. We are some of the most delightful humans to serve with and some of the most frustrating humans to serve with. But if we know that about ourselves, then hopefully we will do enough to set ourselves up for success, communicate what our needs are, trust our emotions and our, you know, what we know about our brain so that we can help everything move more smoothly. If people know that we struggle with time, then we're going to set things up a little bit easier so that we don't go over time with meetings, if people know that we have a tendency to like to, we're energized by different conversation that may feel in left field, then maybe if people are willing, we don't have hour long expectation for a meeting, but we have an hour and a half every other week, so that we can have that flexibility and that joy in serving together. Okay. So that's just a couple of things. So people in general have incredible skills and talents. They, as individuals, as humans, apart from our neurodivergence or our neurotypical nature, we are just good people, and people amaze me. And because of ADHD, many of us have had to develop some skills that otherwise wouldn't have been forced upon us to develop. And I was curious about thinking about that. I, as you all know, don't necessarily call ADHD as the disorder a superpower, though I really did like what Esther Kandari said about a superpower being both the super things that you can do and having to admit that there is kryptonite, you know, the both sides of the coin. So whether whether calling your ADHD a superpower or not resonates with you, awesome. Support yourself in that. Have you ever felt trapped in ADHD's maze of life despite getting your support, despite getting a diagnosis? I totally get it, because in 2019, my burnout led to my ADHD diagnosis, and that diagnosis led me to a community, and it honestly felt like a divine gift. Hiring an ADHD coach transformed everything for me. Now, as a certified ADHD coach myself, I am so thrilled to introduce Mindful to you. Whether you're starting or seasoned on your ADHD journey, Mindful is your coaching home. Join us for a transformative month or more, embracing growth without shame or guilt. At Mindful, we explore truths, emotions, deep questions, fostering genuine growth. Find peace and community among fellow ADHD individuals. We have 2 calls a week and an education call monthly. All the calls are recorded and nothing is actually mandatory. You'll also receive text reminders. I set up this platform with ADHD and you in mind. Your journey begins at CamdenADHDCoaching.com/mindful. Mindful, where your self-discovery takes flight. For me, it's, once again, as I look through the lens of a disability, you know, it's like people that have vision loss, how their other senses get more keen and more intense. In a similar way, because of what our brain doesn't provide for us, we over time, whether we did it on purpose or not, have become attuned and have developed skills that probably a lot of our peers haven't necessarily had to develop. So here is a short list of things as to why I think people with ADHD would be amazing to serve with in a calling. And while it can pose different challenges, has caused us to develop unique strengths and characteristics that most definitely can be advantageous in a variety of different contexts, including callings, as well as the community, jobs, leadership, different organizations. So number one is creativity and innovation, and that shouldn't come as too much of a surprise. We have highly creative and innovative mindset because we have to do things differently, and lots of people won't give us the benefit of the doubt. And so we've had to do pretty creative things in order to get the job done. I don't know if I've shared this with you yet. And this is kind of where like the insanity comes in. But I installed a microwave above one of my stoves, my electric stove, once. Before that microwave was there, I think it was just like a vent. And my husband was at home, and it was very heavy. I don't know if you guys have ever held like an over the head. It wasn't like those half size one. It was a full size one. This was at least 10 years ago. And I wanted it up, and I was determined, and I was hyper-focused on getting that thing installed. And so you really need a second pair of hands to hold the other side, the 2 corners of the microwave up while you screw in the microwave to, you know, where it sits underneath the cabinets in the kitchen. And I didn't have a second pair of hands. So I got an IKEA stool and a whole heap of books and whatever else I could, you know, put in a book at a time in order to raise the other corner that I couldn't hold, just so I could screw in my side and then hurry and screw in the other side to put that microwave up. So when we're talking creativity and innovation, that was a little bit of stupidity, but it worked out great. We had that up there for as long as we lived in the house, and hopefully it's still there unless somebody's updated the kitchen. But we have to get creative the same way that I was able to get creative in that instance. Now, I didn't actually have to do that, but we'll just go with the story anyway, because it's a good one. All right, hyperfocus. This can be difficult because we can't always control the hyperfocus, and coming in and out of hyperfocus feels extremely painful. However, when we can hyperfocus on something, man, do we get good vision and motivation and momentum moving forward. And one of the coolest things that I remember doing within a calling, well, two things come to mind. One of them was organizing a youth conference, and it was in Manti. And this is when they were still doing the Manti pageant. And we did like a scavenger hunt, and we learned all about the different places in Manti. And it was so fun. I had a great time doing that. It was before I even had kids. That's when I was the secretary of the young women. So that was really cool. They gave that whole assignment to me. Like I said, they treated me more like a counselor than a secretary, but I created all of that. And then I created the handouts. And then we had CDs that had church music on, they'd listen to on their way down. Like the whole thing was just really well organized because it hit my hyper-focus note. I was an elementary school teacher at that time too, so it felt very natural to me. And then another one was just a few years back, we wanted to have a focus on the temple over a summer. And so he's our current bishop, but he must have been the young men's president, is a graphic artist. And so together we really did an awesome job of creating like a whole program over the summer, and everyone really got involved and had a great time. That was all in the hyperfocus. So, massive productivity. I remember I was even at the very beginning, it was spurred from this idea of a talk that we read by Elder Wakolo. And, it was all about the light. I can't remember it. Anyway, I was like, we should write him a letter and he should come and maybe we can get him to our ward. Like, why would I think that? Well, I got his letter and email in September and said, hey, I'm coming down for conference. I'm going to be there for a few weeks. Can I come down and visit your ward? He's from Fiji. Did I say something else? Anyway, he's Fijian. And so it was just the coolest, most ADHD, full hyper-focus moment all coming together all at once. And it felt so good. It felt good being supported by people that got me and that saw my vision as well. And that helped a great deal. Okay. Number three, energetic and enthusiastic. Well, I don't know if we have to say more about that, but when we are high, we are high. We can really bring all of the enthusiasm. It can be difficult at times too, right? When we don't have regulation. But also because of that, we're able to really turn on the juice pretty well. Multitasking, it's not always ideal, but we can often develop the ability to manage multiple tasks simultaneously or seemingly simultaneously. And that's okay. You know, we can bounce between being a mom to being a counselor to being a PTA president. Like, that bouncing is very familiar. I call it the ADHD dance, right? The rhythm by which we move is very familiar. So I think of girls camp and just where you kind of have to be everywhere all at once. On one hand, it can become overwhelming, but on another hand, as soon as we find the rhythm, we can bounce from one task to another. As soon as we find our footing, we're okay moving from place to place. Whereas many people who are extremely linear won't ever actually find their footing. It would be very difficult for them to bounce at all. And so long as we can understand the rhythm of what's happening, we can usually match it. adaptability goes with that. Dealing with challenges of ADHD foster adaptability and resilience. Helps us become, honestly, assets to dynamic environments where things are quickly changing and adapting. And that's why I really loved my job working for HEFY, which I don't think it's called that anymore, but I loved bringing the kids down to Peru and to Ecuador, even though it was extremely stressful. And I don't know if I could do it again. I could probably do it better now, but I just liked the adventure. And we just kind of rolled with it as things changed. Risk-taking, entrepreneurial spirit. We are willing to do things differently. We talked about that last podcast episode. We're willing to be more creative. We're willing to think outside of the box. For the sake of thinking outside of the box, for the sake of taking a risk and seeing if it can be done differently. We could call that bold decision-making. Empathy and intuition. We can be very highly empathetic and intuitive. We can deeply understand the emotions of other people, their lived perspectives and experiences. This can help us be really good with communication and interpersonal relationships. And sometimes we take it to a point where it's overwhelming, but if we can learn to not overwhelm ourselves, this is a massive tool and a gift. You know, it's kind of hard to know the chicken or the egg with this one. I feel like being misunderstood helps you really want to understand people. And in addition to that, because our brain doesn't regulate the same way that a neurotypical does, I do feel like it's able to ask questions and perceive things about people by jumping from one thing to another and picking up on a lot of unwritten cues sometimes, which is funny because in the last podcast, we didn't understand other people's unwritten ideas. But we can become kind of good at somewhat like reading the room and figuring out maybe if things are tense or if they need to be smoothed over, et cetera, et cetera. Not that that's our job, but it can be used as a strength. Innovative problem solving. Kind of talked a little bit about that. But we have a unique approach to problem solving. Seemingly unrelated ideas, all of a sudden are dot-to-dot pictures and we're able to put the picture together. And that kind of thinking can be really beneficial when we're trying to problem solve. Got two more, passion and dedication, and then flexibility and open-mindedness. So when people with ADHD find activities or projects that align with their passions, they demonstrate intense perseverance, dedication. They don't drop off. And that passion can drive them to excel, can drive them in their chosen endeavors, their projects, what they really want to do. We just got to get them to a place where they feel really good about it. When the church is asking us to involve the youth in decision-making processes, I think about this, right? They're going to want to participate in things that they're passionate about. And if we can truly see that our calling is ours, our calling can be developed and administered in a way that helps drive our passion and dedication, I think we'll enjoy it a lot more. Flexibility and open-mindedness, the ability to shift our focus and adapt to changing situations can make individuals with ADHD more flexible, more open-minded. That flexibility is a massive asset in leadership roles and collaboration and counseling, different environments that involve many people. I find myself kind of as this bridge sometimes of being able to see both sides of the coin, both sides of the equation, and kind of being in the middle, almost feeling like you're translating from one side to the next. And once again, that's not necessarily our responsibility. We need to be really intentional about whether or not we want to do that. However, it can be extremely useful in a council and in a calling to be able to see what the youth needs and what the leaders want, and then help them find a compromise, or what the students in the class are feeling versus what the presidency really desires, or what the stake president and there's the stake leaders want versus what, you know, the youth want for their, I keep saying the youth, they're a big part of the church. you know, what the primary presidency wants, and kind of bridging that gap and helping things happen that way. So I know that serving in church callings can be really a sacrifice. You know, it really can be a lot of work. And the things that are a lot of work in my life usually pay off in really good ways when I approach them with the right mentality. Otherwise, I can expect burnout, frustration, overwhelm, any number of negative emotions to happen. That's not to say that we won't have negative emotions or we won't have struggles, but that when we are struggling and we are aligned in our calling, it doesn't seem so intense. It doesn't seem so negative. It just seems like part of growth and progression. And I offer that to you as we kind of close here, that it doesn't have to always be black and white. When you start to understand and take ownership for the full person that you are, all the good, all the bad, all the well-developed skills and the less developed skills, all of your out-of-box programming, all of the modeling that you love and you're taking into your life that you learned as a kid, and all the stuff that you're unlearning now as an adult, and you're able to express that and to not be so defensive or take things personal when people don't understand. Come back to this community, come back to this podcast, and remember that I understand you, at least through the context of neurodivergence. I understand that you're different, and that that difference doesn't mean that you're trying to be rebellious or you're trying to be unkind or disobedient, if you will. You're not trying to make things difficult for other people, but that when you show up, honoring all the parts of you, knowing that you will continue to try and grow and progress, that you're going to show up in the best way possible. You're going to not show up awkwardly. You're not going to show up like you're hiding something, and you're going to be even happier. I told you that this whole series was inspired by you all, and so I think it appropriate to kind of end with the words of one of you who inspired this conversation. They say, just listened to the podcasts and went back and repeated different parts. I appreciate you taking the time to listen, and especially to help me know my experience is valid. I had already put some accommodations in place with my new calling and was feeling bad about asking for them. Now, for the first time since I received the calling, I not only feel good about the calling, but also about the way that we have set it up to work for me. this is what it's all about. Because can you imagine if they would have continued feeling bad about it, and how that calling would have gone, versus now they have this ward or this branch or whatever, the stake has this incredible individual with ADHD who now feels like they have the keys to the driver's seat, and they can drive this car with the Lord, with their counselors, with what they need, and they can drive it well. You know, when I first learned to drive a stick shift, it was really clunky. And I knew how to drive a car. I knew how to follow the rules of the street and the community and whatever I'm trying to say. But when I was driving a vehicle I was unfamiliar with, it was really clunky and it looked ridiculous, especially going up hills and downshifting and upshifting, if that's what it's called. And this individual, now they get to drive a car that's familiar around their community and in their calling. And they're going to do an awesome job. They're going to do an awesome job. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you guys for being compassionate toward yourself and being willing to accept that there might be another way to look at how you're approaching your calling and your membership in the church. And I think you're going to be giving a gift to a lot of other people as you show other people your confidence in doing things that are aligned and creative and optimistic and bringing, honestly, light to this world. So thank you so much. This one is equally as long. And I feel like this three-part series is now at least complete for now. I'd love to hear more about your insights and your questions. Always feel free to DM me or email me at info@camdenadhdcoaching.com. And your reviews, as always, are very much appreciated. Please remember how much I love you and I'm always cheering you on. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Busy Brained Saint podcast. If you're eager to explore the world of ADHD coaching, make sure to connect with me on Instagram at Camden_ADHD or visit my website, CamdenADHDCoaching.com. For more LDS-specific ADHD content, don't forget to follow this podcast and join us on Instagram at the Busy Brained Saint. Listen, I'm here to support you on your journey. I cannot wait to have you as a part of our community. Stay engaged, stay inspired, and remember, you're not alone here. Thanks for being a part of the Busy Brained Saint family.